Welcome back to the Parents' Rights in Education podcast. We are a grassroots movement of millions of parents and allies standing together, speaking as one, to protect children and ensure parents' crucial role in their child's education is protected. We come alongside millions of parents and allies and equip them to stand up for their rights by free trainings, membership, and community support. You can join this movement for free by visiting parentsrightsineducation.com. And hey, if you love the work that we're doing, please leave us a 5-star review. Your review helps us get out our message and allows us to keep advocating for parents' rights. Thanks so much for being here. Let's get into today's topic.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be back with you. Let's start with the news. How about North Carolina? Something cool is happening there. The Carteret County Board of Education was slated to hear a second reading on November 8th. To consider final approval of policy updates related to a parental rights law. Now, that parental rights law is called the Parents' Bill of Rights, and it was just recently passed by the North Carolina General Assembly. If no changes are made, this will serve as final approval of the policy updates. The list of proposed policy updates, which comes from North Carolina School Boards Association, must be passed by all state public school boards of education to comply with the law. Proposed revisions include instruction on gender identity, sexual activity, and sexuality, and the issue pertaining to school personnel. They can still respond to student-initiated questions. That is a potential loophole. Next, we have the Alliance Defending Freedom taking something to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Wow, this is great. It will protect parents' rights to direct the upbringing of their children. Huh. Well, isn't that unique? So the role of circuit courts is to correct errors of procedure and law that occurred in the original proceedings of legal cases. Alliance Defending Freedom filed on November 6th with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit on behalf of the Justice Foundation in Regino versus Staley, supporting the right of parents to make decisions about how their children are raised. We wish them all the luck in the world on this because the Ninth Circuit Court is overseeing what takes place where I live, and we're not too happy about them. So thank you to Alliance Defending Freedom for addressing this.
Do you love the work we are doing here at Parents' Rights in Education and want to know how you can become more involved? Become a member for free today. By becoming a member, you can connect with your local leadership, gain access to our free training, get advice, and stay up to date with the latest issues. Join today for free by visiting parentsrightsineducation.com/join. That's parentsrightsineducation.com/join.
Our episode topic today is public schools job number one, safety for all. Progressives constantly talk about how important safe places are for students, especially those who qualify for victim or special status. Parents and others are discovering that justice is one-sided and safety is only for some. Have you noticed that? I sure have. In the wake of a rise in student reports of violent aggression by protected class students against normal peers, we learned of another case that took place in the Tiger Tualatin School District on September 28, 2018, more than 5 years ago. During his very first week in kindergarten, a boy, age six, was sitting in the back of the school bus. You know how kids do. They all kind of gravitate to the back of the bus. And he was sitting across from his 11-year-old older brother instead of in the front area, possibly where he should have been. But in any case, a fifth grader, 11-year-old boy, known for fighting and acts of violence against other students, decided to take out his anger on the kindergartner that day. Although other students tried to stop the violence, he was assaulted for 20 continuous minutes without intervention by an adult. Imagine a six-year-old. The fifth grade bully remained on the bus and hurt three more students, and all with no consequences. The investigation ended within 2 days. And that's the investigation by the school district, was ended within 2 days without the much needed support required for an act of violence like this. The SRO officer was told there is nothing concerning on the video, and he was dismissed. Now, surprisingly, students' families were never contacted by the school. Although the district denied the kindergartner's parents their rights to view the bus video for 3 weeks, the facts we are sharing are substantiated. You might want to sit down for this. The school board and district office is silent. The James Templeton Elementary School principal at the time wrote a false report of the incident, as was shown in the bus video, changing and falsifying information. In addition, the kindergartner's parents found out the truth after they viewed the video. Again, that was 3 weeks after the incident. After the attorneys pulled the kindergartner's medical files, the Templeton Elementary School principal was fired. So the kindergartner, age six, hit in the head multiple times for continuous 20 minutes, left the bus with a serious head injury, causing his brainstem to be pushed into his spinal cord. Are you breathless? I am. He suffered a traumatic brain injury requiring surgery 2 years later and is permanently disabled for the rest of his life. This little guy spent the last 5.5 years in the learning center. Now, as you can imagine, the kindergartner's injuries required constant parent advocacy from then until now. He needed special individual educational plans, doctor visits, MRIs, and in July of 2020, neurological surgery to reduce the swelling in his brain. He will not be able to attend a normal middle or high school, but instead continue his education through an alternative school for 6th grade through 12th grade to work with his ongoing medical issues from his traumatic brain injury. The bully's parents learned about the assault not the next day, not the next week, but 2 years after the assault, when they were served with a lawsuit. They settled for the maximum amount required in Oregon, $7,500. Currently, the school district and school bus company are negotiating with attorneys for the remaining settlement. Negligence and breach of duty have been proven with documented evidence. There were stories recently shared by more than 100 Tigard Tualatin School District parents because of another incident that we reported on earlier. And those stories revealed similar issues concerning district failure to prioritize real student safety. Talk about keeping all students safe has been proven to be more about diversity, equity, and inclusion than safety from violence and bodily harm from undisciplined students. Stay tuned, guys. We are going to interview the mother of the kindergartner who was assaulted 5 years ago on his ride home from kindergarten.
Hey, parents and allies. Here at Parents' Rights in Education, it requires us to all do our part in protecting our children's education. That's why we created Club 12x12. For just $12 a month, you can sign up to become a Club 12x12 member and help us continue our work on training, informing, and empowering parents and allies to stand up for their rights. Being a Club 12 by 12 member gets you access to our exclusive monthly trainings, swag such as hats, t-shirts, buttons, a monthly newsletter, and more. But most importantly, being a Club 12 by 12 member means you are doing your part to protect parents' rights for one more day. To become a Club 12 by 12 member, visit our website, parentsrightsandeducation.com, and click Club 12 by 12. That's parentsrightsandeducation.com, click Club 12 by 12.
Okay, Christy, it's so great to have you on the program today. We have been following you for, I want to say 5 years, but welcome, Christy Baker, to Parents' Rights in Education and this important podcast about parents' rights. Unbelievable. So, Christy, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And give me just a brief background of you. You're a mom. You have several children. I know some older, and this little guy that we're talking about is your youngest. Am I correct?
Yes, I have six boys, and four of them have graduated. We have two left. This youngest one is he's 11 now, but he was six when he was injured.
Okay. Briefly explain to us the course of inquiry. I've talked a little bit about your situation, so our listeners are up to speed about the attack and the injury. But what was the course of inquiry which led you to the resolution that you're hoping to achieve?
We actually had to go to the school, give them the video because we couldn't view it from the bus company. And then they refused us, the school did. We pushed our FERPA rights, and it took them 3 weeks to blur out the other students for us to be able to see what really happened on the bus that day. So it's 3 weeks later that we understood what injuries our son really had. And then we had to keep pushing for IEPs and all of the medical that we had to go through with him while we're trying to deal with the school district. And they still had done nothing. So anything that he needed help with, we had to keep asking for and keep pushing for each and advocating for everything.
Sure. My heart goes out to you, you know, as a parent myself, you know, when our children are physically hurt, we need to get down to the bottom of it as soon as possible. And I didn't read in any of your account when did you discover he was injured? Because my understanding is that the school district didn't contact you. It's not like you went to the school. Did he come home from school that day? Was he injured on the bus coming home? Or was it on his way to school that he was injured?
It was on the bus coming home. He was injured. He was hit multiple times for that 20 minutes. He got off the bus and he had symptoms that we weren't sure of. And he didn't realize because he didn't remember anything. He blacked out. Just couldn't remember. He still doesn't truly what happened. So he had symptoms of like a stomach flu, with headaches, okay. You know.
Gosh, that is just horrific. So, of course, you're thinking, well, his tummy hurts. And you didn't know what had happened, what had taken place on that bus. Amazing. So what did the Tigard-Tualatin School District do to subject them to possible damages in your case? I know that you found some legal help. I recall that you contacted the Department of Education. You're casting around as to, you know, like, can anybody help me get to the bottom of this? How did that all take place?
Well, that Friday when he got off the bus, we realized something had happened. So we asked the request the bus video to go over to the principal over the school. And then that Monday we met with them, but we were all told lies as to what had happened, anything. And it wasn't even truly that my son was even hit. Oh. So we couldn't tell what was going on with him and why he was having the symptoms until we got to see that video 3 weeks later. And we were able to take him to the doctors before that and between that. But at that time, and we knew that it was a concussion. Hmm. But his symptoms just kept increasing to the point of, it turned out to be his brainstem was pushed into his spinal cord. And he was having fluid build up on his brain, and he had a brain injury.
Oh my goodness.
For 2 years, we were dealing the medical part of it, but at the same time, his behaviors became the opposite of that loving little boy that we had. He was in pain 24/7, and so his behaviors were behind that. He didn't have any impulse control anymore because of the damage to his frontal lobe. And trying to deal with the school district on his behaviors and then what they really weren't doing, and then trying to turn in a complaint form, a formal complaint, and follow their procedures in order to get an answer. Even then, we didn't get an answer from the formal complaint. What we got back was, it's been investigated and it's been handled, but we can't tell you anything because of Privacy Act. You know, so we didn't get answers from that either. The police, the SRO officers were dismissed because they were told there's nothing concerning on the video. But we didn't find a lot of this out as we kind of went along through the next 2 years trying to deal with just his medical condition and his IEPs and trying to get what he needed in order to go further into his school year.
Right. Oh, this is just, it honestly is one of the worst cases I've been exposed to because of the fact that you didn't even know what had occurred on that school bus when your child came home that day. That is phenomenal. And then the school district literally, I'm sure you felt like they didn't want you to know. They were trying to hide that information from you, not let you see the video, have access to it, making excuses about other children's, you know, faces would be shown, et cetera, et cetera. That was your right to see that video because your child was on the school bus and he was attacked. Were you getting stories from other students?
None. There was only four or five in the back. And
okay.
The kids were they were younger too, so they weren't talking much at all. But then the school was saying nothing. And the SROs said nothing because he'd been dismissed. He didn't see anything or didn't do any investigations. And they just stayed silent the entire time. As we kept asking, we get nothing from them. You know, it took a lot of investigations, a lot of just pushing everywhere to get what we needed.
And I know that, I mean, your family, both you and your husband work, and you guys aren't exactly, you know, rolling in money, which is the case for most people. Hello. And and here's a school district I just have the impression from you that they weren't exactly in your corner and trying to help you get resolution because they're concerned about, well, what about us? We can't let people know that this happened on, you know, in our school district. I mean, you can imagine them sitting around the conference table thinking, what are we going to do with this Christy Baker? Tell me, where did you finally find out that there might be some possibility of damages and legal help for you with this? Who was it that you contacted?
The Department of Education, they always referred me back down to the district office because if the principal wasn't doing something, you go to district office. I did the formal complaint, and 6 months later, trying to get some kind of answers and investigations going. But there was the vice principal, the principal in that meeting that day when we first went there, the vice principal left the school at the end of the year. And it took over 3 years before the principal had left the school. Mm-hmm. And it was right after they happened to have pulled our son's medical records for the lawsuit that was currently ensuing. And that was 3 years later.
Wow.
But
Three whole years later.
Yes. She was continuing to block everything that we could do to find anything while we're trying to get him through school, through everything he needed to, and along with his medical conditions and off, you know.
Oh, okay. It appears that there may be hope fairly soon. We want to stay with you on this, but what advice, Christy, do you have for other parents who may be experiencing a similar situation? Unfortunately, you're not the first. We know that this there's so many issues related to student safety and peers attacking other peers. We just had that again in Tiger Tualatin. That's why this case is phenomenal. It's in the same school district. And I do know that school district, and the one that you and I live in, that that they prefer to avoid having any kind of negative media directed to their school. Instead of siding with the parent and trying to get to the bottom of it, it should be made public. That's called transparency. But what advice, looking back, can you give to a parent? What would be the first thing that you would tell a parent to do in a case like this?
One thing I'm hearing from many is that they were told they can't see any video. Yes, you can. The moment you ask, they're supposed to give it to you. And you tell them, FERPA law. And they know exactly. Immediately, once we stated that, they took their time to get the rest of the students blurred out, then we could see it, but it took 3 weeks. And go directly to the police officers, the ones that were actually dismissed. You go to the police department and you put in a report, the police. You can even call DHS because they're not taking care of your child on the school itself, because they're supposed to be reporters and they're neglecting their breach of duty, and they are not making your children safe, and they're failing to do their jobs. If it's the admins that are doing it, going all the way up to the corporate office, you can go to ODE within 90 days and file a complaint with them. I'm past that point, but I still have options, and I'm still going to take those options.
Absolutely.
Above their head, you keep going, and don't take what they're going to tell you, can't do this and can't do that. Yes, you can. You have every right as a parent.
Absolutely.
So push it and keep going up above until you get the answers that you need. And it takes a while for us to get an attorney, because children's personal injury cases are very hard to get one that will take it. But once you do, you just keep going.
Absolutely. And document everything. Yes. Keep a journal. Contacted so-and-so on this date. This was the result of, they wouldn't, they said they'd get back to me. I mean, keep a very, that's what all attorneys tell us, is that you must have everything documented. Communicate by email. If your email is not returned, you make a note of that. Put it, print these out, put them in a three-ring binder, whatever you can do to gather the information so that you have a timeline. I think that's key. And don't give up, ever.
Yeah, my emails was constant, and then they did got tired of hearing from me, but that's how we talked, and I made sure everything was written down. I had a question, I emailed it. I didn't call and ask. I didn't have personal conversations with people. I made sure that it was through email and through, so it was automatically coming back. You had a record of everything.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Christy Baker, I have so much respect for you, and we are looking forward to another interview when you can tell us about the settlement and, that we must demand that our rights be honored, period. And again, just know that these government bureaucracies do not want negative media attention, but we're here to help you get that.
and
we're here to help you get it.
They are happy to help you. I've had a nice conversation with the complaint department up through them. And she says, you call us back, we'll get Zoom meetings with the people that you need to talk to. And they are wonderful. And they won't turn you down.
Okay, this is the Department of Education Complaint Department.
ODE, the one that they're afraid of?
Oregon Department of Education. And they will hold them accountable. Fantastic. I love it. And provide legal help. I never thought in all of my born days that I would be extolling the virtues of the Oregon Department of Education. This is epic.
Yeah. And then you can also follow Dempsey at admins to the school board at the same time within a certain amount of time. They don't have a time limit, the school board, but O does.
Okay.
You know, 90 days, but the school board, you can always file. They've got to address what's not being done by the admins.
Awesome. Well, Christy Baker, thank you so much for being with us today. And let's do this again. Keep me up to date.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To keep up with everything we're doing, check out our website, parentsrightsineducation.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You can also join our movement for free by visiting our website, parentsrightsineducation.com. To do your part in protecting parents' rights, you can become a Club 12x12 member by donating $12 a month. It takes all of us to make the change that we want to see. Thanks so much for listening. Talk soon.